Well, thanks for having us here. Can you hear okay in the back? Okay. So Stephanie Gray is our program director and workforce program person for Gallant College. So she creates new programs and works with industry. So she'll be covering some of that. I thought I'd start with a little bit about the history of Gallant College. Then we'll talk about what our mission is and an overview of the college and the programs. We thought we'd touch on sort of national trends for two-year education and what is happening nationally. And then some state and local workforce trends. One of the things we know in Montana, we don't always track the same as other states in the country. Sometimes there's that unique Montana way of organizing and doing things. And then within Montana, Bozeman really is an outlier. Our economy is very different than the rest of the state. Our growth rate, very different than the rest of the state. So we'll talk a little bit about that, because that all drives to how Gallatin College is working to address regional workforce needs, okay? Stephanie and I are both happy to answer questions along the way, so don't feel like you have to wait till the end. Just raise your hand and if anything isn't clear, and we'll see what we can clarify or answer, okay? So first up, how many of you have ever attended a community college anywhere in the country? Well, that's a lot of hands, right? So when you ask people that in Montana, if it's a group of native Montanans, not so many people raise their hands, because the two-year system here in Montana is a bit underdeveloped compared to many of the states I suspect many of you are from. So we'll talk a little bit about that. So the two-year mission for Gallant College, we have a couple of attributes to that. So the history of Gallant College. Prior to 2010, there really wasn't much happening here in two-year education. The president of MSU at the time, President Gamble, asked the Great Falls College of Technology to establish an extension unit here in Bozeman to try to start doing some two-year education. Bozeman had never had a two-year college like other places around the state. And it really dates back to when the Voc Tech schools left the high school system and moved to the college system. And Bozeman didn't have a two-year college. A number of times, folks went and tried to get the Board of Regents to approve two-year education here locally and were turned down. Well, in 2010, we were able to convince the Board of Regents to approve two-year education here locally to establish Gallatin College. And President Cruzado, who was new at MSU, really made that case to the Regents and convinced them that not having a two-year college here locally was a real, real mistake for our community and for the area. So we started in 2010. Then later in, I think it was January of 11, the city of Bozeman passed a resolution. And their resolution was they were going to fund the equivalent of 1.5 mils of tax dollars into Gallatin College. And they did that and took it out of their budget and said, we're investing in our new two-year college here locally. It's that important to our community. And that was, you know, a real watershed moment for them to say, you know, we have roads to fix, we have all these, we got a swimming pool with problems, they have all these issues, but we need to invest in workforce development and two-year education. And it was a big political coup to have the city do that. That gave us some authority and some recognition that, wow, the community's really behind this. So that happened in January of 11. And then in that summer, we leased some space from the high school. So Bozeman High School, if you remember, had just finished their renovation, had the new renovated high school where Chief Joseph had been, and they had some vacant classrooms in B Wing. That's a wing that points out to Main Street towards Starbucks there. So the Bozeman School District agreed to let us lease 5 classrooms, and that really made a difference. All of a sudden, we had classrooms to start teaching our 2-year students. They didn't have to go compete with 16,000 or 15,000 at the time MSU students for parking, because 2-year students don't like to go do that. They're connected to the community. They want access to the community. So those classrooms really helped us get started. And the growth curve started taking off. Then in 2013, we went out to the Gallatin County voters, and we spent 6 months sort of on a campaign educating voters about 2-year education and what we're going to accomplish at Gallatin College and what the needs are, and educated them about the opportunity they had to vote for a 1.5 mil levy at the county level. And that 1.5 mils was designed to put us on par with the other 2-year colleges around the state. Up in Great Falls, Cascade County has a 1.5 mil levy. Over in Yellowstone County, for City College, their 2-year college, they have it. So all the 2-year colleges around the state that are affiliated with a 4-year university have the 1.5 mil levy. In those other jurisdictions, the levy goes into the general fund, and it was established way back when those colleges were moved from the vote tax. So because we were going out to do this, working with the county, we came up with the notion, well, let's not give it to the state. We weren't going to go out and campaign and try to do this. Let's have the money come to the college and support developing the programs we need. So that's what we wrote in that mill levy language. And that November, the citizens of Gallatin County that voted 60% in favor of the mill levy. So it passed. So go ahead. Question? So no, it's really for operating expenses. So because we're in the university system, we're part of the sort of capital system of the university, the long-range building plan. So we were just talking about operating dollars, mostly to start new programs, and that's how we've been spending it. Yes?
Is the county mill levy in addition to the city mill levy?
Yeah, so this good question. The city, knowing this was coming, had set up that they were going to start this and then they would back it off if the county mill levy passed. And then what that mill levy did is it really gave recognition around the state of, boy, they're real serious about wanting 2-year education in Gallatin County. And politically, that was a great thing to sort of have in our pocket. It also motivated folks to say, we've got to develop these programs for our community. They're investing in us. And so it really ties Gallatin College to what's happening locally and meeting workforce needs and meeting student needs in our high schools and that kind of thing. So it was really important. Then in July 14, we leased space for classrooms out on the frontage road. If you've driven out the East Frontage Road after you passed, I think it's a Subaru dealer and Pepsi, is it Harrington's Pepsi, and then Westpaw. We're in the next building past Westpaw. So we leased space out there, and we put in 3 classrooms in 2014. And so that was the start of another location for the college. And we were getting a bit spread out at that point. And then this summer, we expanded that space, and we call it Gallatin College East. And so we picked up more space. If you've driven down the highway, you've seen new buildings that have gone up there, and some tenants moved over into the new space, and we picked it up. So we have 16,000 square feet there. So we just put in this because we're proud of that. It's, I never thought I'd be involved in a campaign, but I say it's like Kentucky basketball. It was one and done. That was our one time. So. But the staff worked really hard, and it was great to be out there. We talked to, I think, 50 community groups over the last 3 months, and just having that contact and communication was great. All right, so let's roll into a little bit of a discussion about two-year education here and four-year in comparison to other places. So before I do this, who thinks they know what the largest university or college in the country is by enrollment? Any guesses?
How about Arizona State?
Great guess. They're at about 70-some thousand.
104,000. I was just there.
Okay, they're up to 104. Thanks for the update.
There's a huge one in like Central Florida.
Right. So the one that, and maybe Arizona State has notched them out the last couple years, but for years, the largest one is Miami-Dade College, and they were over 90,000, and they may be larger now. I haven't seen current numbers. Miami-Dade College was a community college, and then about 8 years ago, they added bachelor degrees into their offerings and were authorized to do it. But it just sort of shows you, you know, no one in Montana is going to guess community college for the biggest university or college, right? Everyone here knows what's the biggest university in the state, right? We kind of put that out there. We're proud of that. But around the country, there are some very large community colleges, and there are a lot of them. So if you go to a system nationally, and you say, what percentage of students, of undergraduate students, are in a two-year college, a community college or two-year college, or a four-year university, and include public, private, that's a breakout. So it's almost 50-50, right? Well, let's go to Montana. If you add the numbers this fall for the students that were in two-year or four-year, you see our breakout. Only 24% were in a two-year college. We're much heavier in terms of enrollment at the four-year level. So a different system, and as I said earlier, sort of a bit of an underdeveloped two-year system in the state. And to give you one more example, Wyoming, kind of an interesting comparison. So they have community colleges around the state, and they have one university. So their breakout is 56% of their students in community colleges and a smaller percentage at the four-year. So our two-year mission, we're open access at Gallatin College like other community colleges. Affordability is important. It's about $102 a credit for a student to take a course with us. They can do a one-year program for around $3,200 or an applied associate degree 2 years for $64, $6,500. So affordability is important. Student-centered, really focusing on the students and having small classrooms, a lot of interaction with the faculty. So we pride ourselves on that. Yeah.
Let's see, is open access, is there any requirement, like you have to have a high school degree? Or
high school degree or GED, that's it. Yeah. Yes?
What about out-of-state?
We do take out-of-state students. We have a few... Yeah, and they pay a higher rate. So the difference at MSU between resident and non-resident, we have about the same proportionate difference on our tuition for out-of-state. And we get a few, especially in aviation and one or two other programs, but not a lot. Adult-focused and accessible learning. A lot of our students are adults. They're coming from the community, as I said. We pride ourselves on being responsive to local needs, and Stephanie will talk about that. And then cultivation of partnerships. Is this where you jump in, Stephanie?
No, not yet.
Not yet?
I
know she said to me, you're going to do this slide, and it was the one about Montana being an aging state. And I just think there was some message there. So, yeah.
The difference between a junior college and like Gallatin College is
Because junior college people can go on into a four-year.
Yeah, so really there isn't any true difference in definition. It's nothing more than different names in different parts of the country. So we have a comprehensive two-year mission, which is the same as a community college mission elsewhere, or a junior college in certain parts of the country.
And are you saying junior college and community college equivalent?
Yep.
I think a lot of community
colleges. No, most of them are two. Most of them are all two-year. There are a few that have started to do four-year degrees, but that's the exception. So I refer to two-year colleges, community colleges, and junior colleges. They're all the same. So what we do, we have a transfer. We do transfer degrees. So we have about 150 students that are taking courses at Gallatin College with the intent of eventually transferring, most of them to MSU. They're working on an Associate of Arts or Associate of Science and working through their general education core classes. Yeah.
So if your students graduate with an AA or an AS degree, they have X number of credits that allows them to transfer a junior level status to right. MSU or any other.
Right.
So what is the cost difference per credit for taking 2 years at the undergraduate level at Gallatin?
Sure.
For Gallatin College as opposed to 2 years, freshman, sophomore year, at MSU if you're an in-state.
Right. So the in-state tuition difference for a Gallatin College student's about 102 and the in-state, 102 a credit. A MSU student, I think it's about 220. It's a 45, we're 45% of the cost of MSU for the credit. Now here's the thing. Our students are getting a transcript. It says Montana State University, Gallatin College, and it has all the courses listed. And those are the same courses they're teaching up there. Now, transfer is a little tricky because anyone in higher ed will tell you quickly that, you know, you do 2 years of this, that doesn't mean you've done the first 2 years of engineering up there. If that's your path, you got all these prerequisites you're going to have to do, and you may not have taken the right math class and math sequence to get there. So transferring in, it really depends on what your major will be on how close you are to two more years and you're done. It depends. You had a question back there?
Well, that was pretty much my question. Yes, this gentleman's, the first part of his question was, I get an AA or an AA
right.
degree. That's 2 years. I start as a junior
right.
at Montana State. Not true.
Okay, it is true in terms of credits. It is terms in terms of credits. You'll have your 60 credits done. How that stacks up depending on what major you pick. There are majors up there that you'll be a lot closer to only two more years and I'm done. That'll work well. And there are majors it just doesn't work as well. Okay. And we have some students that stay with us a year and then say, you know what, I need to get up and start because I need to get these courses lined up and start on a major. Yeah.
So an example of that would be if I had a business degree or I wanted to become a business major at MSU, as opposed to, say, a mechanical engineer.
Right.
Like that. Is it easier for me to follow that path? Business more directly because you have more business-related prerequisites than, say, the more
sure.
mathematical courses and so forth
right.
necessary for mechanical engineering.
Yeah. So here's what it comes down to. Any student that starts at MSU or starts with us that knows their major and doesn't change their major has a great head start on getting to that finish line quicker. And we work with the students on that also. The problem is such a high percentage of students change their major. So they start down this path and change, and then all of a sudden, well, you know, this class in econ doesn't really help me over here because now I want to be an art major. So it's elective credit, and you only have so many of those. So this is kind of a convoluted answer, but it's not a real clean system. But our students are walking out, taking classes, and getting credits that all get accepted up there at the lower cost. Workforce programs, we'll talk about our 13 workforce programs. That's one-year certificates or two-year applied associate degrees. And then developmental education, we do that. That's remedial kind of college readiness work. Students that show up and don't have the necessary math abilities or writing, we work with them. We have special faculty that do that. And we teach that not only for Gallatin College, but we do that up at MSU for all their remedial students, their developmental students. So we're kind of the contract provider there. You had a question?
You just answered.
Okay. And then the last area of our mission is dual enrollment. So we do college coursework in conjunction with local high schools. So, for example, a teacher at Bozeman High or out at Three Forks that's teaching a course that's a pretty high-level course and could match up with a college-level course, our faculty will work with that instructor, and if they can cover the college material and we're confident that that can happen, we'll offer it for dual enrollment. So a high school student in Three Forks will enroll with us, they'll register, they'll take that class, and at the end, if they pass it, they get college credit. And they get that same transcript. I took Math 145 at the college level. And the great thing is we give them that for half of our two-year tuition costs. So they're paying $51 a credit. $150, they're getting a three-credit class done while in college. And they're building some confidence because many of the students doing that just don't know if they'll be college ready, but they build some confidence in becoming a college level student. You had a question?
How does that correspond to the GATE classes that they have, which is like advanced placement?
Sure. So advanced placement's a different model that also can offer college credit. So I had sons that went to Bozeman High. They took AP courses there, and they have great instructors that teach those, and then you have to go take a test. And then if you get a score on the test, you take that to the college you're going to enroll in, and hopefully the college gives you credit. MSU's good at that. Many public universities are. The privates, oh, not so much in terms of giving you credit for that. So it's a different system. All right, where are we at, Stephanie? Profile of our students, we've talked a little bit about this. So it's just a different group of students that we work with. Many are working, they have families, many are changing careers, high need for financial aid. Some of them were underprepared in high school, or they just haven't had success in education. So this is kind of something they're trying. Our enrollment, we're at 1,500 students in the fall total. You can see the developmental. Workforce degree, those are students that are trying to head out and get workforce, get jobs in the community. They're going through one of our workforce programs, those 1 or 2 year programs. And then transfer degrees, that's the transfer students we talked about.
So yeah. The developmental might be for other courses or certificate programs at Gallatin College, or it might be developmental for MSU.
Yeah, the bulk of that's MSU.
Is it?
The bulk of that is MSU. I bet you we had 800 math students this past fall at MSU taking developmental math. You can see our enrollment growth. I'll make this quick. We always like to show charts when things are going up. We
stockbroker.
Yeah, exactly. But we have been the fastest growing college or university in the state for over 8 years. So this is a community with plenty of two-year need. So, and then you can see the degree-seeking group. And then just to show you the comparisons, because once again, as I said, Gallatin County and Bozeman's a bit different. you can see how many communities have dropping enrollments, and their enrollments are going down. Their enrollments peaked back at the height of the recession, but as unemployment's been dropping, people are working, their enrollments are going down. Well, Gallatin College has gone up a lot, MSU's gone up a lot, and you can sort of see the rest of them up there.
Where is Dawson?
Dawson's out in Glendive, right? Yeah, and, you know, they've gone down so far. They were 500 years ago, and they've gone way down. My joke, which probably isn't, is that they needed some more basketball players or something. So. And then I also like to mention, we're real proud of the scholarships at Gallatin College. We've been working on soliciting funding for student scholarships. Without a big alumni base, we don't have people coming back and giving money to the college. So we've gone out, we found businesses, some industry folks have supported, and some private citizens. So anyway... people give to athletics. I get that. They give to the college they graduated from. I get that. Well, if you ever want to just give to some students that it can make a difference that are from the community, Gallatin College is a great place to do it.
Do you have companies that you work with that they pay for their employees to come and develop a course for them? Or?
You know, we have companies, and Stephanie will get into it. Sure. She was asking about companies paying for students to come to us. So we don't exactly have that. We have companies that have contributed to scholarships for students and contributed to starting up programs with equipment and that kind of thing. So we do have that happening. Yes, in the back.
Are you investigating anything on apprenticeship?
Yeah, I'll let Stephanie talk about that. There's a lot of talk about apprenticeships going on. So,
All right,
your turn.
Okay, so these are our 1 year and 2 year courses, and the ones in blue are the ones that we added since we received the mill levy. I just wanted to point that out, that we're taking that very seriously to get going on these 1 and 2 year programs, because that was in my head the charge of the mill levy. Was let's get some skilled employees out there. Some examples, just so you have a sense of where our students go. In, let's say, for instance, in our, this is computer numerically controlled machining, and machinists make parts for everything, all the chairs you sit on, everything you can imagine. They also work in some of our plastic mold injection companies. They're going out to Blackhawk. They're going to little job shops here in town to make things. The machinists support a lot of the work in the photonics and laser technology companies. There are 30, last count, 32 of them in Bozeman and in the county. And photonics is light technology. So anything having to do with like scanners, there's six types of photonics technology in our phones, screens, and we have companies developing things that are going around the world, and those guys need parts made, and so that's how that works together, and our students are quickly coming to our programs, working, and to answer your question and maybe the apprenticeship question, they're getting employed because our program directors come from industry. They're getting employed before they graduate. And thankfully, our employers are so dedicated to education that they're giving them the types of schedules that keep them coming to school while they work. And it's been a great model, so we haven't had to rely on apprenticeships so much, or even internships, because they're just going to work and then coming back to class and bringing that work to class sometimes. Health information coding and medical assisting. You can imagine medical assistants are the people who generally greet you, take your blood pressure, get you comfortable in the room before the doctor or the nurse comes in. Sometimes they take your blood. And we have 71 medical assistant graduates out there right now working in your doctor's offices. And the rest, I think, is pretty self-explanatory. So these are our new programs. These are the new things that I've been working on the past 3 years. Industry came to us quite strongly and said, we need culinarians. We need people who are professionally trained in our kitchens to help us deliver wonderful food to tourists and ourselves. And so we worked on developing this program with MSU in this instance. They're offering a 4-year hospitality management program. And we have our new IT department, which is offering information. Well, it's network technology is our first program, and it's making sure computers are talking to each other within your system and within your environment. And I'm working on a cybersecurity program right now, so you can imagine how popular that one's going to be. And we're also working on a surgical technology program. And Bob probably doesn't even know this yet, but in surgical technology, what you suggested is happening. We have a doctor in town. I believe he's an orthopedic surgeon. And he is sending one of his employees through this, so he's paying for it. So that's starting. All right, we are going to take a movie break. All right.
Night classes?
Yes, that is primarily our workforce programs are mostly at night, particularly so our students can work during the day.
Yeah, another question?
So aviation, is that flying or is it producing planes or?
It is receiving your private license. So they work through our flight school. I mean, it's the ground school portion of what you would do privately, and then they receive their private pilot's license, and after they graduate, they work on their hours. And we have a deal with Horizon right now.
Horizon and SkyWest.
So students could take us up on our take Horizon and SkyWest up on that offer and go work for them, getting more of their hours in, and then work for smaller airlines and work up to a major airline, or they can become a private. You know, charter pilot. It's not mechanical at all. It's all flight.
I'm curious about the demand for interior designers.
That's a great question. So a lot of our students are getting placed. Think of things like retail shops. You're designing your kitchen. You go into any of our various flooring, kitchen design shops. We have students working there. And working for architecture firms. Some architecture firms, if they're doing well and they're big, they have an interior designer on board. And some of them leave and work other places.
I'm inclined to attribute it to the boom in this town of luxury condos.
Absolutely.
Occupied by part-time residents.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's no doubt. When the construction trades go down, the interior designers are probably the first to feel it. You know, that's, I would imagine. This is just a video that talks about, we're transitioning now into what's happening with education in the workforce, and this video explains it so well.
Education is core to our economy, but in order to guide our educational systems and maximize future income, we must understand the misalignment between education and our workforce. In my pursuit of...
Your homework is to watch the rest of that video if you would like. you got the gist of where I'm heading with the rest of this talk, and obviously why I'm so passionate about community college education and tier education. So just for a minute, think about yourselves and tell me when you were college age, we'll just say, because I don't want to assume everyone had the opportunity to go to college. How did you get there?
Get where?
Got to college.
Train?
Some people do ride a train, I believe. You went there in a car. Most of us, I would say my age or older, kind of got there themselves, and we found our way. How often did you call your parents and talk to your parents?
Once a week.
Once a week, right?
Once.
Yeah, or, yeah. Unless you had something bad, and then you didn't call them. Yeah. And then think about the degrees that were offered. Were there a lot of options?
Fewer for women.
Yeah, that's for sure. But there were what's that?
No counseling.
No, there were. You know, our hard sciences, our doctor, lawyer, some of the hard sciences, engineering, of course, but not as many engineering options for sure as there are now. And it's in humanities certainly, and not specialized towards teaching. Of course, in nursing, we're there. So think about these questions in regards to your parents and their parents, and then think about them in regards to people who went to school after the 2000, in 2000. So that's what this slide is trying to impress upon you. Since 1950, occupations have gone from 270 to 8,400. As you all know, around 1995, we started using internet at work. And when I was in college, I had a boyfriend who had a first Mac, so I was psyched, so I got to type my papers on the Mac. But, that was rare. And students enrolled in college and universities, look at that growth, 2 million to 20 million, just like the tape said, or the video said. Our population did not grow by that much. We only doubled in that time period. So this culture of going to 4-year and that's the only way you can have success in your life, it was stuck. And it was good. It's good that it did. And then the amount of programming that's changed. No wonder students can't figure out what they want to do. There's so many options for them. Now I'm just talking about what's going on in industry and what's changing in our economy that should affect our education and how we deliver our education and what we're trying to do at Galvin College. So, of course, healthcare, there's all sorts of work around genetics and healthcare. And like the 127, we need the doctors and we need the researchers and we need, the trained lab techs. And also, the 7, we need the group of people who are watching, all the doing all the work in the lab, and IT particularly. The way we exchange currency is changing. That's going to take a whole different level of training. And the security of internet, and the internet of everything. We all know we've got refrigerators that are talking to the internet, and our temperature in our house, I can turn mine up right now if I want to, or down. And robotics and automation. I was working with a group of manufacturers yesterday, and one of them came up to me and he said, "When are you going to start training students on automation and robotics? Because we're getting ready, and we're going to amp it up, and we need people to program the robots. We need people in programming, meaning to teach, in a sense, the robot what to do, whether it's put a box here or a piece of equipment there. We need them to do that. And what students are wanting right now is what I call this hybrid education. I think some of the students are dropping out because they come and get what they want and they leave. And this generation isn't so hung up on necessarily completing their degree. Some of them want to come learn Python language, which is a computer language, and Spanish. Well, we restrict them right now in education to do, you have to do this or you have to do this. Some want to learn, some want to merge science and humanities. So they want to come in and learn what they need and get what they need out of it, and then they're on their way. And we need to adjust to that, and I think at Galvin College we're doing that. This is just the same thing. We're having more jobs that require more technical skills, and I'm also saying that 40% of those jobs that require technical skills are paying quite well. So we don't need to be afraid of that anymore. You still need to pay attention to what you're learning, what you're taking. Okay, so high schools get beat up a lot, right? Why aren't you teaching this? Why aren't you getting this in? I think, and the author of the book I read who stated this, say it's really counterproductive to keep trying to get high schools to cram everything in. We have to accept the fact that we need a post-secondary educational system, and that's what community college is doing for us. We can't expect every high school to have a machine shop and welding and an IT lab and all those things. And we can work with the high school students, like with dual enrollment, and have them come to us and do it. Or if they do have great shops, let's use their shops and do it there, teach, train there. Because of the 27, on average, credits high school students get, only 2.5 of those credits are career and technical education. Because there's been this culture of go to college. And what is the future of education? Well, I believe the future is partnering with the private sector, finding out what they need, what they want us to be teaching, which we're doing at Gallatin College. Teaching in short, segmented sections so people can work, or students can come learn, pick and choose, kind of like a menu, what they want to learn. And we have to reimagine our physical space, which Bob and I have reimagined a lot. Can we go lease space on our frontage road and stick a sign on a warehouse and call it a college? Sure, we can. Can we share space with a high school? We still, research is showing that there's a value in cohort learning. So there's a value in groups coming and studying something together and moving through that together as a group process. And online learning is important. It has to be the right students, though. Some students don't do well with online learning. Using phones, you know, what can we use with mobile apps? And another big thing about understanding our students, some of you will understand this. Young adults, it's the album versus song. Young adults buy songs now. They don't buy albums. And we have to sell our education like a song and not the entire album, or we lose them. 4 years is an eternity for them, right? And do this with credentials and certificates and allowing them to build their experience. So just some general rules that certainly education still pays. We want an educated community. But how we get it and how much of it we get is changing. And I do want to make sure you know that our workforce programs, all of them have a writing component to them and a speaking component, a communications component. Of course, they have math. It's integrated into what they're learning. And it's geometry if they're building products. It's how to talk to your boss. It's very applied, but we haven't dropped that entirely. And what you take determines what you make. That sounds like a no-brainer. Obviously, if you're going into, I'll pick on myself, I have a psychology degree. If I end up being a social worker, I'm probably going to make less. And unless I was an engineer, I would make a lot more. So it's just important when you're talking to young people to think about that. Some of them think of it on their own. And sometimes less education is worth more, which is what we've been talking about. A certificate in IT can earn you a lot more money than the average BA recipient. And 30% of associate's degree earners can make more than the average bachelor's degree. Obviously, bachelor's average. However, a rising tide lifts all boats. You know, that's important. This is more about our economy. For every high-tech job, I know Bozeman's growing and it's painful sometimes, but for every high-tech job that comes here, we get 5 other jobs. Two of those are professional jobs, bankers, lawyers, doctors. 3 of them are non-professionals. You know, supporting all those yoga instructors, we have to do that. And or professional retail folks. Manufacturing jobs don't stimulate the economy quite as much. They just generally support one service industry job. And I'd like to think that Gallatin College is a part of that because we're filling in for some of these jobs. And certainly where you live matters. I mean, sadly, there's, like I said earlier, we have the largest photonics industry cluster per capita in the country, right here in Bozeman. And so if you want to work in a high-tech industry, or if you want to be some of these people and make a little more money, because when we get those folks also float to the top, then you need to live in a place where these things are going on. This is the slide.
It's some subtle message. So we know Montana's an aging population, and it's aging faster than many other states. And why that's important is across the state, it's creating this job replacement gap. As people are retiring out of the workforce, we don't have enough people coming in behind them across the state to take those jobs. So this gap is widening. Now, it's a little different here in Bozeman because we're a bit of a young community if you look at the demographics. So we're different in that and that we're growing. Unemployment's another factor in terms of workforce. As you can see, we're at 3% back in December. Montana's 4.2, so we've tended to run less unemployment than the rest of the state, and that puts a squeeze on our businesses for hiring folks. So we constantly get businesses coming to us, start a program because I need all these workers. Well, you know, it's not quite that simple. We need people here that are interested in programs, that commit to education, develop the skills and experience, and want to stay in the community and take those jobs. The workforce in Montana, as I said, you know, there's this gap. We'll need roughly 17,000 workers annually to fill those openings. We're talking a lot about the group we're targeting in there, those technical jobs, those applied jobs. 12% will require post-secondary training, education, or apprenticeship, so that really speaks to that group. And then 19% require a bachelor's degree or higher. And just to be clear, there's no doubt that getting a bachelor's degree, getting a graduate degree over the life of that person will earn you more money if you're just looking at that. We're talking about our area for two-year education because some of those jobs right out of the gate pay well and you don't incur a whole lot of debt. And for our kind of students, that's important. And for our kind of community, it's kind of been a missing piece of the educational puzzle. You want anything on this, Stephanie?
Can you speak?
Sure.
I guess just one thing. It's saying 19% will not require a bachelor's degree, but is that what the employer is asking?
This will require a bachelor's degree.
Yeah, but a lot of times there's jobs that are out there. You don't need a bachelor's to actually do it.
Exactly.
But the employer says you have to have a bachelor's degree to get in the door.
Yeah, and sometimes that happens. We've had to educate employers because they say, oh, wait a minute, you now have an associate degree in this. I don't need to require the bachelor's because they're getting this. You know, so they have to kind of change their thinking on that.
And that's where I was
Yeah.
There's a real...
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
I read somewhere that during times of higher unemployment, that trade schools and junior college enrollment rises.
During higher unemployment?
Yes.
Correct. If there aren't jobs, the two-year colleges around the country, their enrollment goes up because people can't be working. And that's why many of those others have been dropping because people are in Cascade County are getting employed. And so Great Falls College doesn't have as many students. We're running a counter trend here because we're so underserved that we aren't at the 1,700 students we should have, and then we probably would be dropping a bit. This just shows you where some of the jobs are coming in terms of the various sectors. And then job growth is a little fuzzy, but you know, the economists from the Bureau of Business and Economic Research in Missoula, they were here a couple weeks ago, and like every year, they show charts like this, and it's growth in jobs, growth in income, and Gallatin County is always way ahead of the state in that area. So it's no surprise, I think, to those of us living here. Anything you want to say on this one, Stephanie?
This is just something that I would use for my work to determine. These are the, you know, to determine where we need to start programming next. Obviously, healthcare, we're going to keep adding programs there. Accommodations and food services, I feel like we've done that. Check. We've got culinary arts now. Maybe we need to do some short programs in that. Just to give you an idea, you know, we like to try to plan programs that are going to provide a satisfactory, sustainable wage for people. And that's another thing. As we get more professionals out in the in economy, those wages, research shows that those wages do tend to rise a little. So hopefully that will happen in accommodations and food services. And these are the same thing. This is a list of programs that the Montana Department of Labor is suggesting that we look at because they're projecting that these programs are going to need employees. Healthcare. It's the largest employing industry in the state, and there's a 19% projected annual growth through 2024, and that is true for Bozeman too. This is just one of our students in medical assisting, and just thought you should know that that's the industry we're really looking at right now for growth. It's sorted out. Well, what about healthcare? Where are the openings? Nursing is in high demand. Medical secretaries, which are medical assistants, can fill those roles. We train them at the front of the office type of work and the back of the office, so they say. And nursing assistants, they could do that work. Medical records, we have that program. So I feel like we're hitting these programs well. We just started a search tech. These two, we're still kind of waiting on to see what happens. And then manufacturing. Manufacturing is growing in Montana. The country is seeing a decline in manufacturing, but it's growing for us. It's certainly growing in Gallatin County. And so this is a list of all the projected jobs in manufacturing. You can see the numbers are pretty big. Manufacturing does include beverage and bakery stuff, you know, all the food manufacturers, metals, and a lot of plastic, mold injection companies, dog toys, right, Westpaw. And so we're meeting those needs also. And then, of course, high tech is the other big industry that we're looking at. There is a group of high tech business owners that are an alliance, and they're projecting in a survey, they projected there'll be 963 jobs in Montana. And of that 963, I would say that probably at least 30% of them are going to be here. There's going to be some in Missoula here. Kalispell, Flathead has some cluster, and then Helena. So another 19% growth rate. And then, just so you know, we do more than just offer programs. People actually go to them and graduate. This is the number of graduates that we've had that we're placing out in the county and the area since we've started.
It really speaks to building the pipeline. And at our current growth and the size of the college, we feel pretty good about putting 50 bookkeepers out into this community, working in nonprofits, working in small businesses. That's making a difference. Eventually, we want to have a list three times this long.
I'm surprised culinary arts isn't higher.
Well, it's...
We just started that, so we have no graduates yet. They're right in the middle of.
Yeah.
So I thought you had it for several years.
No, we've been talking about it for several years.
There's a story there.
That's computer numerically controlled machining. So if you think of an old machine shop, well, now they have computers attached to them and they get programmed. You're going to make this part. So this is a splattering of the blue ones are all the programs we offer. The orange, gold, yellow are the ones that we're considering. Do you guys have any thoughts?
Yes.
What do you think? What should we offer?
I have a thought about it. I came here to see if you had anything to do with the regular trade, you know, because drugs and bunkers over, because I have trouble finding people. But I went to a trade show here in Bozeman. Uh-huh. You know how many companies were from Bozeman? None.
Really?
There were Billings and
right.
other places.
Yeah.
Apparently they're willing to drive and do this work, whatever it is, construction, plumbing, whatever. But you would think at least it'd be some.
Yeah, and that's simply a reflection of, in our early stage of growth, the building trades programs require lots of space, you know, to set up a shop for HVAC or carpentry or electrical. And so we have just been so space constrained, we've been pretty selective about doing it. But you're absolutely right. I mean, contractors in this town are begging for us to get to the point where we can start chipping away and bringing on those kind of programs, because we know we're at the place where the jobs are. So,
is there any demand for auto mechanics?
You know, we haven't heard. I have not had an auto mechanic call me. That's usually how this starts. They call and say, we need this. But I haven't heard that.
What about EMTs?
Yeah, I have paramedic EMTs on the list. Right now, people can get that. One thing we really try to be conscientious of since we don't have a lot of space right now or a building is someone else already doing this in the community? And someone does do that privately, but it would be on our list also if we had the space.
Well, if they do it in Helena.
Right.
Right. Or if they do it in a college that's near us, we'll try to respect that too.
Montana Transportation has moved out of Rouse Avenue, and there's all kinds of empty buildings there. Have you considered those?
I'm going to let the dean take that one. The space?
The space. Yeah, okay. We'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
All right.
So we'll get to it.
Okay.
Stephanie? Oh, go ahead.
I'm not quite sure how to phrase this question, but from what I'm hearing, it sounds as if the college is primarily focused on preparing people for employment. But what about preparing people for citizenship? What are the requirements to get a degree? Is there anything not focused on the career goals that would be, you know, comparable to like humanities or things like that, to try to help people develop their skills in critical thinking, that sort of thing?
That would be our Associate of Arts. I mean, we have an Associate of Arts where they take more, sociology and American history and those types of classes.
But yeah. For example, in order to graduate with a degree in aviation, you wouldn't have to do anything like that.
You do have to take some humanities courses. You have to take, you know, I think he has a psychology or a sociology requirement in that course. It's sort of up to the lead faculty for that program, what they think is valuable to that.
Yeah, and we have professional ethics in different programs in different ways. So it does come up, but we're not a liberal arts school.
Yeah, right.
You know, clearly we're not that, you know, so... our students are really, especially on the workforce side, they're focused on wanting to get out there and get to the employment. So,
you know, we talked about that here with Rob Watson, and on the high school level, the critical importance of teaching civics, uh-huh. understanding what our Constitution actually is and how our government works, that sort of thing, for citizenship, and plus there are other humanities kinds of things. And so that really needs to start on high school level, and that was kind of agreed by the group here. I also think that it's a pitch for lifelong learning, that
right.
after you get your job and you're making some money and you have maybe time, then we need lifelong learning coming from university, coming from Wonderlust, coming from the library, coming from places where you can go and learn history, where you can do arts, and you can do all of these things. But your niche is really important.
Well, but I'm following up on these two comments. I have been sitting here thinking I'm the product of a liberal arts education. Mm-hmm. And this seems to me to be very job-focused, which I understand.
Sure.
But I wonder how you see your responsibility with regard to encouraging intellectual curiosity and fostering or teaching critical thinking skills and an appreciation for literature and history, art and music, certainly an understanding of how our government functions and having responsible citizenship.
I would say the critical thinking piece, I'm going to pick apart all the different in our workforce program, that's all they're doing is thinking critically. They're solving problems. How do I build this, you know, in maybe a mathematical way? But they're having to approach problem solving in more of our engineering, and certainly in our IT networking. And then, however, our mission of those four is, you know, our Associate of Arts and Science. They can take our Associate of Arts and Science courses, start testing some of those things in our religion course or our like sociology or literature or American History of the West, and then continue to move on. You know, that's the big school's job also, is to continue that. And our advisors and our instructors certainly foster that, particularly on the AA and AS side. You know, they understand that's their role with those students.
Yeah.
Just curious as if you've considered dental assisting or dental lab technology.
Yeah, that's one that comes up. It's a expensive one. You have to have a dental, you know, office set up, and then you have to have a dentist to help in terms of faculty. So that's one we've just had out there and said, you know, someday we'd like to get there. They do that at Gray Falls College, but they're the only one in the state at this point that does, I believe, because of that. Do you want to just touch on the factors?
I look at data when we're looking at new programs. I look at local data. I will pull together focus groups of employers to figure out what their needs are, you know, in the construction trades. Specifically, what would that be? Would it be, you know, what do we need to be teaching? What kind of math do we need to be teaching them? And we consider student interests. We consider what's already going on in the community, who's already teaching things. And faculty recruitment is a big one. Like Bob just said, are we going to be able to get a faculty who has expertise, who's willing to walk away from probably a high level of pay and come teach? And then I have these pictures in because, you know, this is our CNC lab and that's our IT lab. What are the space requirements for this new program? Are we going to need a whole other warehouse or space to teach in? And those are all, of course, resources that we have to consider.
So we've talked a little bit, we talked about how large we are, and I mentioned that someday we should be at 1,700 students, and that's simply based on the other two-year colleges, how many students they are serving in their population, and if you apply that here, that's where we should be. But it, you know, we know we're growing, so we should be even bigger than that someday. The facility question has come up, and I just offer this for a comparison. So our peers up in Great Falls at their two-year college, they have 216,000 square feet of space with 1,000 enrollment. That's 210 square feet per student. So then you can see City College in Billings, Highlands College, a two-year college in Butte, and then Gallatin College. So that's adding in our lease space plus the classrooms we use on MSU's campus and our students. So you can see we're definitely facility challenged. It's really a credit to the faculty and staff of Gallatin College that they've been this flexible and able to teach in the spaces that we've been able to come up with. And so that's where we want to get to someday. Ideally, this facility, you know, on somewhere around the perimeter of the MSU campus would be great, where it has good access to the community, but also some access to MSU, because we're still connected in affiliate college and have some need to stay connected there. So that's kind of the long-term plan for the facility. Yep. And then I like to end with just kind of showing the faculty and staff. That's the reason the college has had this successful startup time. We have a great group of faculty we hire from the community and a great group of staff that I have a privilege to work with. And they're just a tremendous team. So that's it. So you want to hit the lights?
Are there more questions? We got one here.
Yeah.
How are you accredited? Are you accredited?
So we fall under the MSU accreditation. We get certain services, and we're involved with MSU in certain ways, and accreditation is one of them. So we're under theirs and participate in that.
So that an AA student or an AS student could use the MSU library?
Yes, our students all use the library. They use many of
those
support
services.
Many of those support services, exactly.
That saves you a lot of money.
It does. Yes.
And our workforce students can live in the dorms.
Right. Another question? Okay. Thank you.
You just heard a lecture from the MSU Wanderlust Friday Forum on 16th February 2018 at the Bozeman Public Library. The lecture was Gallatin College, Role in Our Education System and Goals for Its Students. The speakers were Bob Hytala, the Gallatin College Dean, and Stephanie Gray, the Program Development Manager. Recording produced with permission by KGVM Gallatin Valley Community Radio.